But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood before them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today changes everything. And today is a day when salvation is so real. We pray, Lord, if there's one here today who doesn't know you as their risen Lord, that today salvation would come to their heart. We pray, O God, for those of us who know you and love you and proclaim you as our King, that we would ask, O God, that you renew in us a right spirit in the very presence of the empty tomb. Receive our worship and our praise, for you deserve it. You are so worthy. In Christ's name we pray.
we're singing hymn number 159. If you will please put your bulletin or your finger into 158 and just leave it there for after the choir sings the next anthem, we're going to do a responsive reading number 158 in between the two choir anthems. So let us stand now and praise the Lord by singing Christ the Lord is Risen Today, 159.
Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. For your love, dear Lord, the greatest love. Please be with those that are in need and accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
have any visiting boys and girls, be sure you come. Okay, come on down. This is wonderful. Except I don't have a place to sit. I got to. Well, I tell you what, I'll just stand right here. How about that? That be all right? Let's see. Okay. My, I can't even count that high. Wow. This is a special day, isn't it? This is Easter Sunday. And you know, when we think about Easter Sunday, we think about Easter baskets. We think about chocolate bunnies, pretty dresses that I see lots of, all kinds of things for Easter. One thing that we all think about is Easter egg hunt, right? How many of you have been on the Easter egg hunt? How many of you here yesterday? I saw lots of you here yesterday. Easter egg hunts, all those candy and those eggs. Well, have you ever wondered why we use the egg to represent Easter? Let me tell you about that. The mother hen, a chicken, sits on her eggs, and in 21 days exactly, do you know what happens? Right. That little egg begins to move just a little bit, and a crack comes in the side, and you know what causes that crack? The baby chick uses his little beak, and he pecks, and all of a sudden, he begins to get out. It cracks, and he comes out. The little baby chick is so cute. That is an egg, and it means new life, because that new baby chicken came out. So that's why the egg is a symbol of life, because that baby chick comes out of that egg. We celebrate Easter Sunday because that is the day that Jesus came out of the grave and he was alive. That's why we celebrate Easter today. Well, this morning, I brought what I call a real Easter egg. A real Easter egg. And I'm going to show you why it's called a real Easter egg. I'm not doing very well standing today. This is not a chocolate egg. It's not a covered peanut butter egg. It is a real egg. A chicken laid this egg. It's not cooked. It's not boiled. This is a real egg, the real Easter egg. And I'm going to crack it. And guess what? What? Nothing's in it, is it? Can you see? That's why I call it a real Easter egg. See?
Because it looks like a real egg and there's nothing in it.
There's nothing in it. And you know what that reminds me of?
The tomb when Jesus was in the tomb.
Exactly. When Jesus was not in the tomb. When his followers went there to see his body, it wasn't there. Because he had what? Risen. He had risen from the grave. He did that so you and I could have new life in heaven with him. Okay? Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we celebrate your new life today. We thank you so much for coming back to life again, dying on the cross, rising from the dead for us. We begin to think about that and every day, because we thank you so much. Thank you for these wonderful boys and girls. They will understand what new life means. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, and please come back next Sunday. Thank you.
time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace, were it not for responsive reading on page 158 in your hymnal, please. Let's stand as we recite this. I'll do the light print, you do the dark print, please. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance.
That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12.
After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time.
But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead.
If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised.
And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Be seated.
Come with me to the Sea of Galilee. Come with me, come apart with me. Come with me, leave the multitude. Come with me to a place of solitude. Come with me, watch and pray. Come with me, for soon I go. But I will leave my spirit to guide and comfort you. And I will come again for you.
Spirit to guide.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you, choir, for the music today. If that doesn't get your glory bumps going, your bumper's broke. You know that? On this Resurrection Sunday, this holy day, the holiest day, we gather to worship. It made me smile. I saw all of your faces smile when all those children came down. Made God smile. Today, on this day, He had every one of those children on His mind when He came up out of the grave. He has each person on this prayer list on His mind on this day. I want to give just a couple of updates before we then read our scripture and then pray. We certainly want to be remembering the Frank Fischi family in our prayers in a very special way. We want to continue to remember all those that are listed that are dealing with different issues. Sarah and Joanne waiting for procedures, and also the plans are right now that, and not on your list, you might want to add these names. Bob Koval may well be having surgery tomorrow, and Kayla McFarland will be having surgery this Wednesday. We want to remember them. Jerry Nance fell this past Wednesday evening. He had surgery this week to repair a broken bone. Jerry is struggling with healing right now. We want to be remembering him in a very special way. He is at Rex Hospital. And then we received word that Dale Barber, Gail Hickman's brother, is in the ICU in Florida. His carotid artery is completely blocked, and they're trying to figure out what they need to do to remedy that, and we want to be remembering him in our prayers. You'll see the other names, each one on the resurrected Lord's mind and on our heart and on our mind as well. Before we pray, I'd like to read the scripture that will be our focus for a moment or two this morning. It is Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 36 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through 49. I read the beginning of Luke 24 when we started worship today. The story of the resurrection. You'll know there were two men on the road to Emmaus that were walking, and our Lord joined them. And they have come back to tell the disciples, and that's where our text begins today. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to begin to read in verse 36, and we will read through verse 49. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see. For spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and grant us understanding of his word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, we praise your name. Our heart is stirred in unique and powerful ways. We pray, O God, that that stirring might result in change in our life and in our living as your Spirit would direct. Heavenly Father, we have mentioned these on our prayer list that are on our heart. We lift them to your care and ask for your power to manifest itself in their life. And now, Lord, would you open our eyes and open our minds that we might open our mouth as your witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Randy Alcorn's book, In Light of Eternity, he imagines two twins having a conversation within their mother's womb. You know, one says, there's a whole world out there, grassy meadows and snowy mountains, splashing streams and waterfalls, horses and dogs and cats and whales and giraffes. There are skyscrapers and cities and people like us, only they're much bigger, playing games like football and baseball and volleyball and going to the beach. Are you crazy? The other twin responded. That's just wishful thinking. Everyone knows there's no life after birth. Can you imagine? An infant developing within his mother's womb, and the only world he's ever known is his mother's womb. And describe to him horses and dogs and whales and rainbows and sunshine. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Today we change our focus in our series. We've been looking at the series of the habits of disciples, because this year we're striving to be the best disciples at Flat Springs we can possibly be. For the next several weeks, we'll be talking about the hope of disciples, the hope that disciples have. And our hope is unlike the hope of the rest of the world. You see, our hope is built on Jesus Christ. So today we look at the first hope we have. How appropriate on this Sunday: eternal life. Everyone knows there's life after death, don't we? Well, there wasn't until the resurrection. Jesus changed everything. You and I, we didn't do it. God did it. The hope of Easter is that Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord. That responsive reading reminds us that we are the biggest fools in the United States of America if the resurrection is mythology, if we're just pretending to think it's real. If it's not real, we are fools. You and I, we are fools. But if it is real, if it is not mythology, if it is the reality that God knew we were separated from Him and would be separated from Him for all eternity unless God provided a bridge, and if Jesus Christ is that bridge, and if the death on the cross and the resurrection are the way from earth to heaven, and the only way from earth to heaven, then you and I, we are not fools. We are the brightest folks on the planet, and we have the greatest news in all the world. We have the news the world desperately needs. And in this little moment of Jesus appearing to the disciples, eternal life is proclaimed and a challenge is offered. I love what he says in verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. The first thing Jesus needs to do on this Easter Sunday is to open our eyes. Disciples couldn't believe their eyes. It says that they were in disbelief, and I would have been there too. I understand. That was a hard thing to see. That was an impossible thing to see. Even if you hope for it, even if you wish it were true, even though you had heard what the men on the road to Emmaus were telling you, even if you had heard what the women said, still, that was hard to believe. See his hands and see his feet. I love the song that is sung. It says, when speaking of heaven, it says, the only thing there in heaven that will be made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. Jesus provided that way from where we were. He showed the nails. He showed where he had given himself. You remember that conversation he had with Thomas when Thomas missed church the week before, and he showed back up, and the disciples told Thomas in John chapter 20 that the Lord had come, and he didn't believe it. He didn't believe that they had seen the risen Lord. And you remember the story. Verse 24 and following, Jesus appeared again, and he walked in, and he went straight to Thomas. And he did as he did here. He showed him his feet. He showed him his hands. He showed him his side, where the spear had been thrust. Oh, when we see Jesus, when we see Jesus, when we see Jesus, it changes us. Maybe the world's just too good a place to really need Jesus. Maybe there is no cancer. Maybe there is no heart disease. Maybe there are no terrorists. Maybe there are no murderers, no thieves, no problems. This is heaven on earth. This is it. There's no death. There's no pain. There's no sickness. Quit thinking that way, and it'll be all right. Change your mind and see the world differently. It's a good place. It's a great place. It's the best place. It's all you need. It's all you have. It's all you ever want. Just live in it and be fulfilled. Don't worry. Don't worry about aging. Don't worry about sickness. Don't worry about death. Don't worry about problems. Don't worry about anything. Put on your worldly blinders and live in the moment. What our world teaches us. They teach it well. They spend billions of dollars every day to teach us to live like that. And then each Sunday, in a station like this, in stations like this throughout Sanford and Lee County and North Carolina, we gather. We sing the hymns of the faith. and someone stands behind this sacred desk and says, this is not all there is. This is not what it's really all about. This is not the end all and the all in all. There is another day. There is another way. I can't tell you there's no death, but I can tell you the one who's conquered death. I can't tell you there's no sickness, but I can tell you the great physician. I can't tell you there are no murderers. I can't tell you there are no problems, but I can tell you there's a comforter who can comfort us in every circumstance, in every situation. But brothers and sisters, you and I, we must open our eyes and see His hands and see His feet and recognize that the resurrection is just not one Sunday in which we put on our best and come to worship, but it is a daily walk of looking for Him. For you see, the resurrection, it cuts across logic, it cuts across science, it cuts across religion, and yet in 2016, we still believe that we serve a risen Savior. Are our eyes open? Secondly, I want us to understand we must open our minds. Jesus opened their minds. I love what He says in verse 45 as they were gathered there. It says, and then He opened their minds to understand the Scripture. Jesus has been telling them. What's God been telling us all our life? I bet there's some of us, we have been in church, we have been around, we've had godly parents, we've had godly grandparents, we've had godly neighbors, we've known about all of this. Maybe today God says, I need to, like the disciples, open your mind to a deeper walk. Not just a tip your hat, but a lifestyle. When we see the power of the resurrection, it changes how we think. It changes how we live, how we do everything. You know, there's some things in life that can happen that can define us. They can be negative things, or they can be positive things. That moment, we sometimes call them life posts in our life, where we make a decision, a big decision, about what we're going to do with our life, about who we're going to marry or whether we're going to marry. We make those big decisions about where we're going to live, about how we're going to have family, how we're going to do family. We make those big decisions. I want to suggest today that when our minds are open to what God's Word teaches, it begins to change us. It begins to be one of those significant places. I've noticed a growing cry in the church these days. That growing cry is that we get tired, we get frustrated, we get fatigued. In a writing called Holding On to Hope by Keith Linkous, I found this quote, and I just want to share it with you. And boy, my eyes kind of opened up when I read it. The difference is that some work hard with hope, with a vision, and with a purpose. With hope, a vision, and a purpose. While others have been fatigued and frustrated, and they have lost their focus of their efforts. Burnout comes when we're working too hard at the wrong thing, or when we're doing the right thing the wrong way. You didn't hear that. Let me read that again. Burnout comes when we're working too hard at the wrong thing, or when we're doing the right thing the wrong way. That's a powerful quote. When our efforts seem worthless and ineffective, we get burned out. You get frustrated in the fact that you've wasted your time and your talent and your energy. I'm going to make a simple statement here. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection is the cure for burnout. The resurrection is the cure for all the things. And yet, church, could we be doing even church the wrong way? Christ still desires to open our minds and give us hope. What would happen today if we would stop all the so-called worldly wisdom and just in total abandonment open our lives up to the fact that we serve a risen Savior. I believe that it would change everything. And if there's one here today, just one, who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardon and forgiveness of sin. If you've never said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, not a lucky foot, not a lucky charm, but I want Him to be Lord of all. Lord of all. Not Lord of most. Lord of all. Today could be the greatest day in your history. No other day. No other day could ever compare to it. Not your birthday, not your wedding day, not even the day you go to be with the Lord. This could be the day when we believe. And the last word I want to share this morning, he says in verse 48, you are my witnesses. Jesus reminds the disciples that we are called to be God's witnesses. Have we seen the empty tomb? Let me ask you a question. You know why the stone was rolled away? It wasn't to let Jesus out. They didn't open the door when Jesus came to them right here. When disciples were in the upper room, the door was locked, the Bible says, and Jesus appeared in their midst. When he came back to Thomas, he didn't need to open the door. Jesus appeared in their midst. Why was the stone rolled away? Jesus didn't need it. The stone was rolled away so we could look inside. So we could see inside that the tomb was empty. We need to see inside and see the empty tomb. We need to look inside and see that death has been conquered and that life has been secured. We need to look inside and see that sin that would separate us from God has been destroyed by the resurrection, and we can have life and relationship with God forever and for always. We need to look inside and see that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We need to look inside and see that our future is not mapped out by some disease or by somebody that sooner or later will give up this ghost. We need to look inside and see that we were built for heaven. We need to look inside and see that God has prepared a place, and one day He will come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we shall be forever. We need to look inside. That's why the stone was rolled away. And Jesus said, we're His witnesses. We need to invite our neighbors. We need to invite our family. We need to invite our co-workers and our schoolmates to come and look inside. Blessed be the name of the Lord. today is Resurrection Sunday. And the Holy Spirit is in this place. And now, we make decisions. Decisions about our life. If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to see the stone that Christ rolled away from that grave and look inside and realize that was for you. And that eternity, eternal life, the hope of every human being, eternal life has been secured by that empty tomb. That's what we believe. That's what I believe. Today, if God is speaking to your heart about some area where maybe He's opening your mind, opening your eyes, in order that we might open our mouth to share His love in different ways from this moment forward. And the Holy Spirit's in this place. And as the Holy Spirit moves, may we respond. May we respond to God's goodness, to God's love, to the Christ who left the tomb. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell. That's our challenge. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity. On this Resurrection Sunday, none of us will leave the same way we came in because God's Spirit has touched us again. We've seen the real Easter egg. We've looked inside the Easter tomb where Christ defeated even a pagan belief that sometime is tied to this holiday. Christ said, what you need is real. And Jesus Christ is real. And Jesus Christ can make a difference. I don't know how we've come today. Maybe on the way here there's some heavy decisions that rode in the car with you. But on Resurrection Sunday, God wants to open hearts and open minds and open eyes. It may be on the ride home, there'll be different decisions made. What's God saying? Our hymn is page 176. If you would open there. Fairest Lord Jesus. Oh, as our choir sang, I worship our Lord. I hope you did. And as you sing this, Fairest Lord Jesus, remember you're not singing to the person next to you. You're singing to God. And as we sing this hymn of decision, this hymn of choice, may our prayer be as we sing that God would open our hearts as we stand together and sing. I hope you'll read the bulletin. The one announcement that I will make today is that there was a delivery going to be done by Dorcas Ministry Group tomorrow. That is going to be postponed. Our other announcements are in the bulletin. I hope you'll read them and sign up in the atrium where you need to. In the name of the Father, I proclaim He is risen. In the name of the Son, I proclaim He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And in the name of the Holy Spirit, I proclaim He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
As we depart on this Resurrection Sunday, if you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see our response then asks you to sing that precious name that changes everything. And now, as we leave this place on Resurrection Sunday, may we do so, and we can, in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His witnessing people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, my God. Resurrection. Eternal life. Strength for standing up against everything the world might throw at us and still being and living victorious are what I see when I look into the empty tomb. Thank you. In Jesus' name.